Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Adrian Puren is the Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Very good morning.
It's obviously incredibly difficult at the moment as you're trying to identify which variant, where we're at, what is the impact of the variants. Are we fast settling into an understanding that what we're seeing around us now is much more the Delta than the Beta variant?
Yes, I think that's probably going to be inevitable. I know that there's a distribution of variants in Gauteng at least. But remember, there was a lag to that data, and it's probably about a week or two. So my sense is, given that we know about what we know about the Delta variant, is that it really rapidly displaces various other variants that are present. We saw that in India, the UK, and for example, we see it now in Israel, as well as in United States, that in fact it's a highly transmissible variant, and we probably will see when we next look at the next set of data that it probably has become the dominant variant, at least in Gauteng. It's likely that given movement and so on in South Africa, that it's that variant too may well become dominant in other areas. We've already seen it in about 6 provinces thus far.
Sounds like a strange question, but is it better that we have one dominant variant throughout the world?
It depends on what that variant is. If it's an adapted variant that we can manage and live with, if you like, in terms of, you know, when we come back to the so-called non-pharmaceutical interventions, the presence of vaccines, then yes, I suppose it's like the cold, cold viruses, for example, where we've adapted, or vice versa. So yes, then it does certainly become manageable. I think it's when it's not manageable under these circumstances that I think it becomes more challenging, of course.
And is there a danger that because the Beta variant was dominant in South Africa, the Delta variant comes in? Is it a danger, and I know it's probably a very layperson question, that having these two variants could result in an altogether new variant emerging?
If there's recombination events, but I haven't really seen much of that at all with regard to these particular viruses. So I think that there are multiple variants in circulation regardless. I think we're focusing on the so-called dominant variants such as the Beta, the Delta, but there are some other variants that are present in smaller proportions, but that they certainly are there, and I think they will continue to be there.
Tell us what we now know about the Delta variant as it's behaving in South Africa.
Yeah, so with regard to South Africa, but I think is that we do know that it's becoming the dominant variant. We know that in Gauteng that there's been a really great upsurge, and that probably the Delta variant probably explains what we currently are seeing. I think we did not, when the initial models came out, I think we did say that Gauteng would be different to the other provinces. That was in part because we didn't really know what the effect is of the variants.
Right.
But now that it is here, we need to really take that into account, especially around hospitalizations and their bed capacity and oxygen utilization, because that obviously, because the effect of R has certainly changed because of that particular variant, because it's about 40 to 60% higher in transmission, that we will see a larger number of individuals. But it may not always necessarily translate into larger numbers, but that is a possibility. And so I think that's the major, as you know, the major concern is that our bed capacity oxygen supplies may well be difficult challenge.
Are we still relatively confident that the severity isn't particularly different? It's more the transmissibility, which of course leads to more pressure on the system.
Yeah, I think I know that there are 1-2 studies from the UK, I think, that showed that it may well be more severe, but I've seen the opposite as well. So it's a bit difficult, and sometimes it's very difficult to tissue out some of these particular aspects, because of association rather than actual causation. So I think we just need to be cautious and see what the outcome is of that.
Right.
I think what is important though, and I think I'm hoping that, and I know we've spoken about this often, is the vaccine rollout.
Right, that was going to be my next question, but give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so again, I think that given, I think the evidence is good around the Pfizer vaccine as well as AstraZeneca, that in fact, in terms of reduction of admissions, mm-hmm. as well as hospitalizations and severity, these vaccines are quite effective as well. So I think it's, if we can, again, and really make sure that our vaccine rollout program is expanded rapidly, especially to those individuals that are in particular age categories and comorbidities, I think it really will be critical to have that program expanded, yes.
Do we know anything yet about the Johnson & Johnson? Some of the discussions I've had on the show is that it seems to be showing positive results in laboratory testing, but they don't know beyond that. What is your understanding of the Johnson & Johnson efficacy?
Yes, I haven't seen much data around that, but I think given the nature of that particular vaccine and the type of vaccine, I think it's likely that it will behave the same way as the AstraZeneca, for example. Mm. Maybe there may be a requirement of an additional vaccination, but at this time...
Which obviously is an important one to note, given the fact that our healthcare workers who are frontliners are the ones that have mainly received the Johnson & Johnson.
Absolutely. So I think there, again, it's important to keep track of, for example, reinfections. That will also be an important indicator that, in fact, the Johnson & Johnson is effective against the Delta variant.
And are we seeing a lot of reinfections at this point?
I'm not aware that the extent of reinfections has certainly changed dramatically. I think that was our concern, similarly with the beta variant, if you recall. But I don't think that the evidence shows that, in fact, that is the case. So I think we may well be in a similar position at this time, that there will be reinfections for whatever reasons. That could be individuals that have received vaccine or individuals that have had natural infections,
In terms of the AstraZeneca, of course, South Africa rejected the first batch, and there's been a fair amount of criticism around that. It's got to be quite difficult to come back to it now and say, okay, now we are prepared to. But do you think that we will be looking to receive AstraZeneca again?
Yes, I think we should make every effort to have the AstraZeneca available. And in fact, as you know, the rest of Africa, well, not the rest of Africa, but certainly several African countries are certainly using AstraZeneca virus, so the vaccine. So I'm hoping that we would also be part of in the queue to receive that vaccine as well.
Right. And obviously that's the most critical thing right now, is just to try and get as many people vaccinated as possible. Otherwise, we are going to have, I would imagine, a fourth wave and a fifth wave and so on.
Yes, we may still well have that. I think it depends on whether we, you know, reach critical levels of immunity. So I think that there's a combination of things of reaching the critical levels of immunity as well as managing, for example, vaccine hesitancy or the ability to vaccinate those individuals that we've not reached through, for example, because our electronic systems may not be adaptable to people who don't have access to computers and so forth. So those types of things need to really be ironed out in order to reach the largest numbers of individuals as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's in terms of the containment, do you think that it's going about, we're going about it in the right way, or should we be rather looking at different areas having different regulations at different times?
Sometimes I thought about that, but sometimes it becomes very difficult, you know, like managing borders, you know, provincial borders or a district, you know, just locking down districts. I think it becomes very tricky and difficult. But if you have the broad, level 3 or level 4 regulations in place across the country, it also provides opportunities for those provinces to prepare as well as best as possible. I know that there are resurgence plans, they should be working on them all the time, but maybe this is just an additional impetus. While you have that level 3 or level 4 in place at a national level, the provinces that are not as markedly affected can have the opportunity to prepare as best as is possible around, again, hospital capacity, bed capacity, oxygen supply, and so on.
Professor Adrian Puren, that is unfortunately where we do need to leave it. Thank you for always making yourself available and chatting to us, bringing us the information that we desperately crave.